This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, you! Yeah, I'm talking to you, sassy girl. Need a little ah in your step? Try this on for size.
It's pop.
It tastes great. It makes you feel kind of funny. Not here, not down there, but all up in this area. And coming
October 2018.
Jumbo Pop.
Talking hot. Yo. BT.
Sick and tired of hearing all these people talk about what's the deal with this pop life and when is it gonna fade out? The thing you got to realize, what we're doing is not a trend. We got the gift of melody, we're gonna bring it till the end. Come on now.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to Talking Pop. My name is Jennifer Smith, and I'm here with my co-host, my trusty little sidekick, Tim Cable. How you doing, Tim?
Jenny, I'm quite well, and yes, welcome back to the ear cancer that is known as Talking Pop, if certain Facebook 90210 fan pages are to be believed. Welcome to any new listeners we may have from that group. Thank you very much for your feedback.
Pretty sure we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, perhaps not. But, you know, it's been a little while since you heard us last. If you're a returning listener, I guess we gave our 90210 retrospective a little bit of breathing room. And I'm not really sorry for that. So that was a fun episode, and we hope you enjoyed it. If not, please do take the time to check that out. But we're doing something rather different tonight.
Okay, so this is what we're doing. What are we doing? We are this little live watch gimmick has become kind of popular, I think, between me and you, because I think that we got to be friends when we did watches, and we would Skype during like movies or pay-per-views. So, you know, I think it's part of our bonding experience to this point. So I think that some of our funniest stuff has been when we do live watches. And so we wanted to do a kind of a Halloween themed episode since this is October. And our first idea didn't really pan out too well because we wanted to try to find a professional paranormal investigator, but we did not have any luck finding any ghost hunters.
To be fair, we also didn't try very hard.
We did not try at all, but, you know, normally with our episodes, they just kind of fall into our lap.
Yeah.
So we've not, you know, to this point, we've been pretty lucky as far as, like, topics and, you know, what we're going to do for the show. And this one, we struggled a little bit. So we're like, all right, well, fuck it. Since we can't find any ghost hunters, then let's do a live watch because it's sort of our jam. Sure. And so then we said, okay, well, what are we going to watch? And then we did the whole, like, list of Halloween movies, like something that would be fun. Hocus Pocus was offered.
Was offered.
What else did we consider?
We considered... you know what? The Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Yeah, Buffy. Yeah, the Buffy movie.
Yeah.
That was me. And then I thought, you know, I have the perfect movie. For Talking Pop, this is the perfect movie. It's called Teen Witch. It's from 1989.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of my most favorite guilty pleasure movies because me and my best friend Kristen used to just flip out about this movie. Watched it all the time when we had sleepovers. And whenever it's on, we text each other. I'm watching Teen Witch. And I was like, Tim has to watch this. We have to do a live watch on Teen Witch. So that's what we're going to do. Are you excited about it?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason I really wanted to greenlight this one. That is what sold me on this movie, just your connection to it, your enthusiasm for it, combined with the fact that I had never even seen this until today. So this is
an entirely
new experience for me. It was one that I wondered, like, maybe I have seen it or seen parts of and just didn't know what it was called. But no, having actually gotten through it once earlier today, I can assure you I have never seen this film in any form. I understand there are some iconic scenes that I'm really mm-hmm. looking forward to unpacking.
So I think that this kind of speaks to our love of WCW, you know, some of the cheese factor here. So it's really just the perfect thing for us to watch for Talking Pop. So we couldn't find it streaming anywhere. And then me being me, I just got the digital copy on Amazon for like $15. I was like, I'm going to watch this 100 times, so it's worth it for me. And you found it on iTunes, is that right?
Yeah, I rented it on iTunes, which it's available as of this recording today in early October for the low, low price of 99 cents. So check that out if you're willing to spend any money at all to watch this. However, having said that, it occurs to me that isn't this like one of those ABC Family or Freeform, whatever, like 13 Days of Halloween favorites? So
I feel like you can probably find it somewhere. I just don't happen to have cable, so if you have cable, you could probably find it on, like you said, Freeform, TNT, TBS, or some bullshit like that. That's usually where I would catch it.
I mean, they're bound to show it at some point between now and Halloween.
Right. All right, so I think we should just fire it up and then just go from there.
All right, I'm ready whenever you are. Should we count the folks in?
Let's do a Lois Chiavani style count in.
I like it.
3, 2, 1, start.
Amazing. That's Lois is the good. Best. That was.
I know she is. I love her run-ins. Oh, I didn't mute this either, but whatever.
Okay. I'm going to put my captioning on. This is a Trans World Entertainment picture. One of my favorite studios. No.
Trans World.
That was inappropriate.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There will be a lot of that. I apologize already for everything that's going to be said.
Okay, so number one, the song that's playing right here, Never Gonna Be the Same Again.
It's a banger. This opening,
God, love it.
This is a very, very music video-esque opening to this film. It doesn't really, I found that it didn't exactly set me up in terms of what I thought this movie was going to be, but that's okay. Again,
right, because in no way do they look like high school students, you know. So this is very off-putting just to start off with. But like Robin Lively, okay, she's the teen witch here. Yeah. She's super hot, right?
Here she is super hot. This is our first look, our first impression of the teen witch, played by Robin Lively, who, can you tell me anything about Robin Lively? Because I just... not a name I was really familiar with, and somebody it seems like whose career never totally got off the ground.
No, I mean, she's not overly popular. I think she's pretty good, though, and she still does work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Looks like some episodes of, like, Code Black, Hawaii Five-0, Rush Hour. So just, like, TV work.
Yeah.
Longmire, that's a pretty good show. So yeah, I've seen her periodically, but she's always Teen Witch in my heart.
It's gotta be. And this sequence kind of goes on for a while.
It does.
For what it is and what it's going to be revealed to be here in a bit. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. But it just sort of goes and goes and goes. And you're thinking, is this really the movie?
Okay, let's talk about the male lead here.
Oh, yeah.
Brad.
Let's talk about Brad.
He's super hot as well.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's kind of, I found it at some point, he's sort of channeling Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, yes. You that's know? Exactly right. It's and, the blue-eyed, dark hair, short guy thing.
Yep.
You know, they're kind of built the same.
Mm-hmm. They give this sort of same look of incredulity sometimes.
Mm-hmm,
that,
mm-hmm.
That's a very Tom Cruise thing, trademark that he has down. And Brad, played by Dan Gauthier.
Gauthier.
Yeah, who I recognized him kind of right away because he was like designated hot guy in a lot of 90s television that I consumed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he was in Beverly Hills 90210. Appropriately yep. enough, several episodes of that as a character I don't remember named Dick Harrison. So, sounds like a Kelly love interest type of thing.
It kind
of
does.
Probably, yeah. But I didn't remember him. It was kind of later 90210 seasons. Also, now, not a lot of actors can claim this to their resume. 17 episodes of Melrose Place.
Nice.
I do remember him from that as kind of hoshy-moshy baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He romanced Sam away from Billy. So,
okay, so
anyway,
it's been revealed that she was just having a hot dream.
She's having a hot dream, yep.
And then this motherfucker right here, her creepy little brother.
Yeah.
He chills me to my soul.
Like, yeah, yeah. You do get the douche chills from him.
He's like, it's something about, like, his voice and mm-hmm. the way he talks. And it just seems like a legit, like, demon. I don't know. It's just very off-putting. Like,
yeah. And he's kind of perverted, what he's doing
he
here.
Yeah, he's perverted. And he's a freaking nosy and annoying-ass little brother.
And I get that that's the point. He is supposed to be that kind of, like, stock character, but maybe he's a little too good at it.
Yeah, like,
for this movie.
It's real weird. And then her parents are, like, super sunshiny and
old,
optimistic and wholesome.
Yeah, it's the 80s thing of having the parents played by much older actors than it seems like their kids are. So mm-hmm. it's like, I mean, I don't know how that is probably a good question. How old are these actors who are playing high school students? They are probably more convincing than some other
mm-hmm.
related projects from around this time. But, you know, you've got that whole thing going on.
Her best friend, Polly, I think, looks the youngest
mm-hmm.
of most of them. But then, you know, they're a bunch of nerds, so nobody cares about them.
No.
Nope.
Exactly.
Oh, they sure did play up her nerdy part, you know, before she gets cool. Yeah, yes. Like that wardrobe is next level.
They did a good job. Okay, so we've got I don't get this. Talk to me about... I'm sorry. We're doing a disservice to our listeners who may not be watching at home. What we're seeing are a trio of... So it's kind of like Newsies meets... Newsies and New Jack City at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this. They're like 50s greasers, but with a hip-hop gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real weird.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. And they sort of just pop up in the background from time
mm-hmm.
to time.
Until the most infamous singing part of the movie, the best part of the movie.
Cannot wait.
All right, so now you have the popular girls,
mm-hmm.
Complete and total bitches, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
do nothing but make fun of Louise and everybody else.
Randa. Randa is the alpha girl, blonde. So, yeah, got to get them in here. You got the asshole English teacher, Mr. Weaver. He's such a cunt.
Yeah, he's he deserves everything that
he really does. Yeah. He does some very inappropriate things, and that's even before he gets his comeuppance.
He's an asshole, man.
Man.
Okay, now, so
I know the English teacher from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He played Larry David's father.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so my fascination with Louise is that she really is genuinely a good person, and she gets in over her head. I think she does what most like normal people would do when faced with her situation, right? Because she's always felt like an invisible or you know, a freak or, you know, just not good enough. And so when she, you know, when she gets what she gets, she can't help but use it. And I think she's completely and totally relatable.
Yeah. I mean, I find her situation, I sort of hesitate to say conflict, because that's one thing about this movie. There's not really like a hardcore, like, central conflict. You know, she does have some characters who are obstacles to what she wants, but it's all pretty, like, low stakes, right?
Well, other than the fact of, like...
Not to her, you know, because she's a... Right. I mean, everything is the biggest deal in the world when you're 15, 16 years old.
Well, she has the choice to decide whether she forces somebody to do something. Like, she has control of them, power over them, or to free them from that and to see if they still want her for her.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there's that sort of conflict.
Okay, we've got another kind of impromptu dance-off.
Yes.
Which, this was a scene that gave me pause, because there was part of me that was like, is this a musical? Like,
right.
I just didn't really understand how to...
It's just all of a sudden it broke into a musical in the girls' locker room, and you're just like, okay. And she's just sitting there like, this is normal.
I know, that's the best part.
This happens all the time.
She's just this kind of passive observer, and this thing kind of keeps going and takes on a life of its own. And it's like the entire girls' locker room that is singing. Apparently, they like boys.
They like boys.
Was my takeaway.
I mean, this is like just pretty much eye candy, right? Just so you could see girls bouncing around in the, locker room, that's scantily clad.
Isn't this a movie like for girls, though?
Well.
They're not that scantily clad, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. For the most part.
It's rather chaste, which is good for this type of thing. I mean, we're talking about a locker room scene, for God's sake, so
it could be worse.
Yeah. Well, I kind of admire the restraint.
You know, it's kind of well choreographed.
Yeah.
You know?
Put some work into it.
Yeah, with the towel gag there.
Mm-hmm. The towel gag. Amazing. Man. And it, like I said, it just kind of keeps going. It's another one of those scenes that for some reason is longer than it needs to be and that you think it would be. So we see Louise peering around the corner. Wow, they're really still going for it, huh?
The look on her face.
And
all right.
And that was another thing. It was another thing I wondered, because I was like, are some of these scenes just taking place in her head, or is she actually witnessing them? And I think it was clear that that did actually happen. So
yeah, which that's interesting that you said that, because I've never thought of that before. Because she does have a rich fantasy life.
She has a very rich fantasy life, yeah.
I could kind of see her just like spacing out and imagining all of that.
Oh, now we're getting.
Oh, fuck, man.
Oh, hoshmashy. See, we're getting more skin in this scene than we got in that locker room scene with the girls.
Oof. I'm telling you what.
I mean, they're serving up the beefcake.
Yeah, they are.
I feel like they know their audience. Young women and gay men. Apparently.
All right.
I wasn't allowed to watch this as a kid, you see.
Why is that?
Thought it might turn me gay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone...
What did you watch that turned you gay, Tim? I don't think anyone
in my family knew this movie existed. Oh, and here's Mrs. Krabappel. Or what's-her-face from Bob Newhart.
Yeah. All right, so apparently the nerd of the school thinks that she can try out for the school play.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you should know that she was never going to get that role.
Mm-mm.
She's actually pretty good, though.
Yeah, she does a fine job here. I'm somewhat surprised to see Brad auditioning as well, considering he's the jock. And those crowds tend not to mix.
He's not bad either, though, really.
Mm-mm. And he's, I mean, they're pretty much getting into character here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what this is from, though. I missed that part.
I wasn't paying attention. Now, Jenny, is it safe to say, this might come as a disappointment to your listeners, but perhaps not a film you would cover on Freak Out Drive-In?
No, probably not. Yeah, this is definitely a talking pop movie.
Yeah, guess it has to be.
Decidedly not enough blood for Freak Out Drive-In.
No.
You know how I like it, bloody.
Blood and guts, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they killed this audition.
Yeah.
And we're getting the news that, nope.
She didn't get the part.
No, but Brad did.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
Yeah.
But she's going to be the costume assistant.
Yes.
Bless her heart.
Now she's on her bike with the big hair.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the 80s hair. We've got the 80s hair going on. They've really got that down.
And Brad and the popular mean girl are making out in his car while he's driving.
Mm-hmm.
Runs her off the road. I mean, he's not a douche.
No. You know?
He's a nice dude. Like, kind of clueless and, like, it's like, I don't know. Like, he knows right from wrong, but he also kind of likes being the big man on campus or whatever, so he... Nobody's ever really challenged him.
Yeah, I mean, he makes it pretty clear that status is important to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't, I mean, go out of his way to put anyone down or to be an asshole about it.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's one of those, you don't really get a cookie for doing things you're supposed to do anyway. But at the same time, look at what we have to compare these portrayals to. I mean, this is an 80s movie, and... That type of character, usually a huge asshole.
That's true, yes.
Louise, great old lady name, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of good old lady names.
Yeah, we're experts at old lady names.
Uh-huh.
Carol is an old lady's name, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Edna. We had an Edna.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Louise. So, her look right now, very Barb from Stranger Things, if folks need a frame of reference to place that.
So, she almost got ran over, and then her bike, the tire went flat, and then she tried to use the phone booth Okay, phone booth.
Do we have to explain what a phone booth is?
Or hopefully not.
Or what a payphone is.
And so the wires were cut. So it's like, well, shit. So now she has to walk her bike.
Yeah.
This is the epitome of pathetic, right?
It's sad.
After the day she's had. And so here she sees a creepy old house.
And it looks like it looks like a haunted house like you would have at the fair, basically.
It said that the exterior was from was also the same place from the video from Thriller. Yeah,
oh,
I saw that.
No kidding.
On the trivia.
Huh. Historical significance there.
Mm-hmm. So it's Madame Serena's.
Yes.
Kind of like, she's like a psychic.
She does a fortune-telling gimmick.
Yeah, gimmick. That's right. And she is the cutest little lady.
Oh, yeah.
About 3 foot tall, 4 foot tall. I mean, she's mm-hmm. the cutest little thing with the squeakiest little voice. And that's another reason why I like this movie.
She's the cute little old lady that everybody knows her, Poltergeist,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
named Zelda Rubinstein. Rubinstein? Rubinstein?
Stein.
Stein.
I think.
But yeah, you know her right away if you've seen mm-hmm. literally anything she's been in, even for 2 seconds. She's pretty much unmistakable.
I like their chemistry right away.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Louise is like, no idea what's happening and can't really focus on it. But she's also sort of opens up to her automatically. So,
yeah.
So it's interesting.
I like this line here where Madame Serena said she had a cute, punky brewer face, which. Louise very much does.
Yeah, she does.
I kind of couldn't unsee that after she said so. Yeah, right now, she just sort of takes her for a mark off the street. She's mm-hmm. going to do this, you know, give me some money, I'll read your palm. I've had that done before, have you?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted it. What did you find out?
I don't remember. it was... almost 20 years ago, I think. So,
holy shit.
Yeah. I don't even think an adult at the time. It was just one of those, oh, you're very this, you're very that kind of surface personality traits sort of mm-hmm. things. Much like Serena is doing here until she realizes, hang on a second. She saw something more legit. She's taking a closer look now. And she says, you're one of us. She's telling Louise that she's a mutant. All right?
She's part of the Brotherhood.
It is sort of how this whole deal plays out. It's on her 16th birthday. She's going to come into some wonderful powers that she won't fully understand or know how to use. But look, she's got a mentor already. How about that?
Oh my gosh! And it's her 16th birthday, and nobody comes to her party, and it's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh god, it's so sad. They hung up these sad little balloons, and they have this giant cake, and nobody comes.
This is very sad.
It's
the brother dressed up. How about that? Did I lose you?
Sorry, I was muted.
See.
But she tries to be so brave, you know, and like, it's okay, and...
Her parents are so... supportive. The dad is Dick Sargent.
Yeah, that's right. Whose dad did he play? Bewitched, that's right, yep.
The second Darren on Bewitched.
Yes. The replacement Darren.
The replacement Darren. But hey, at least she has one loyal friend.
Who's calling, even though she can't make it to the party.
Told her to come over anyway. I don't think we saw whether she did or not. But yeah, she was out in the cold just because some other rich, popular bitch was throwing a party the same night.
Mm-hmm.
Another dream.
Mm-hmm.
Another, yeah.
Things are going to get weird.
Oh, God, this scene. This might low-key be my favorite scene.
It was good, right?
The teacher very reluctantly doing a sex education with props and visual aids. In this line coming up here. Zipper lizard.
There's a drawing on the chalkboard. Sparky sperm. Oh, and Edna egg.
Edna egg.
And a drawing of a uterus.
Amazing.
It is amazing. The kids are all like real stoked about it.
And she looks as the teacher looks as uncomfortable as they are.
Yeah, she has to show them how to use condoms.
Right.
That bitch had never seen a condom in her life.
She's like holding it out kind of at a distance and not looking at it. It's ridiculous. She's leading the class in a chant of condom. Another great slang term used in that scene, tally whacker.
Tally whacker.
Which everyone who's grown up in the South has heard.
Exactly. I used to hate it when my mom used to say that word.
Yeah.
She would say it just to drive me crazy.
Where do we know where this film is supposed to take place? Like where it's set?
Not that I'm aware of. Let's see.
Could just be anywhere USA sort of thing?
Probably, yeah. I don't think it's meant to have a specific setting. It was filmed in Glendale, California.
I'm sure we can just kind of go with that then.
Yeah, just a sort of California thing.
Ah, so now we have this this necklace, this talisman.
It was just meant to be, or it's supposedly just a piece of costume jewelry from the drama department. But the drama lady wants Louise to have him.
Of course she does.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, I will say that. And this thing, like, so it's sort of a focal point for her power, I guess?
Yeah. They're all real vague about the actual, like, witchiness of it.
Uh-huh. So if she was Thor, that would be her hammer.
Kind of like that, yes. And so the popular girls just unexpectedly just invited her somewhere, and it was like out of nowhere.
Yeah, chatting her up already. So is that a product of her abilities taking form or coincidence?
Definitely her luck is starting to change. Oh, my God, this sequence where she's trying to... Well, she wears this god-awful outfit to get out of the house. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so bad.
And her well-meaning father just...
Tries to... Have
doesn't get it.
Here. She's like, nobody wears this shit, Dad. I look like such a geek. And she does for serious. I mean, you should definitely judge people by how they dress.
Well, yeah, it's the 80s.
So.
Now, was that a relatable struggle for you, not having the right clothes or having clothes that your parents did not approve of?
I've never been really one to want to, like, show skin at all. So I've always been a jeans and t-shirt girl. Yeah. You know, so that, I mean, every now and then it would be like, I would feel like too plain or whatever. Cause I didn't want to wear a dress. I didn't want to wear a skirt. And when I did, it felt like weird. Like I was never comfortable in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, I didn't really care. I mean, all girls care to some extent, but you know, I just wanted it to fit and, you know,
yeah,
not look too terrible.
So we're now meeting her date. This does not go according to her plans.
Mm-mm. Where did they dredge this guy up from?
I don't know. Yeah. That hair is really something.
Oh, my gosh. They're having a party in a barn, right?
Yeah.
These dance moves. Oh, man.
There is the whitest dancing you will ever see.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Oh, it's the popular girl's, like, cousin. That's who the guy is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how she got the date.
He didn't have a date. He was in from out of town or something. I don't know.
And so she has smuggled in a cuter outfit in her bag.
Yeah.
So she just changes her clothes in the bathroom. And this outfit is equally as stupid as the other one was. I mean, it's sexier because she has a short skirt and a tutu. But,
She went from Barb to rock and wrestling, sort of.
Yeah. And she thinks she looks cool. She does not.
1989 seems like a very confused year where, you know, it is the last year of the 80s, but trying to, you know, cut ties with some of the more hardcore, severe 80s fashions, but not yet knowing that the 90s is going to be its own weird bag of cats.
And he just busts out laughing when he sees her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you look ridiculous.
And then so she starts making fun of him and his bow tie. He does have a funny line coming up here. Which is, all the lines that really made me laugh were just because they were so out of nowhere and unexpected for this, for what I thought this movie was. So,
what did you think it was?
I don't know. I guess I thought it was cheesier and lamer than, which is not here it was. Hey, you want to go smoke some weed?
Some weed?
I mean, you don't really expect a line like that in this little...
That's true. You're
like,
right.
Babysitter's Club type of movie. I mean, it's just... I don't know what to call it. And she's appalled at this point.
Yeah. She just has to sit there and watch Brad and his girl slow dance sexfully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then she says, I wish he'd just look at me. And then he does.
That.
And then she says, I wish he'd just come over. And then he does. You're like, what is happening?
Okay, now we're on to something. Look at the number of their table, too. 13.
13. Mm-hmm.
Mm, very subtle. Oh, and she left. What's her girlfriend's name?
Polly.
Polly. Left poor Polly just sitting there.
Didn't they have this, like, oddly, like, pseudo-intimate moment outside?
Yes. And I don't know. That was one of the things I'd noted as being different than the romantic comedy that's aimed at more of a probably male audience or just general audience. It's, you know, you always have the hot girl trope in movies like that. And I mean, as deep as they get usually is like, hey, here's this nerdy girl, but then she takes her glasses off and she's secretly hot, you know, like, and they don't really do that kind of stuff in this movie. Like, he is, the kind of, you know, attracting the female gaze. You know, we got the beefcake scene, which I think we both appreciated, but they're also trying to give him an actual personality.
Yes.
It's still not very deep, but it's more than what you usually got with the love interest type character.
And they have some honest chemistry, I think.
Yeah.
He invites...
he can drive through fog like a hog with a hard on.
Then he starts molesting...
Yeah, this car is fucked up. Yeah. He's like trying to drive and he's like getting all handsy and it's gross.
Yeah, it really is. And then she just wishes him away and then
yeah.
Never to be seen again in the movie. So I think technically she's a murderer at this point.
Well, he's a Supreme Court justice today, so it all.
Oh, you're right.
Again, I've already made my apologies for. But no, yeah, she blinked him out of existence. You're right.
Brad has a sweet car.
That is true. Yeah, they were driving Brad's car there, so that was probably fortunate.
So then she runs to Serena's because obviously she's the only one who knows what's going on.
Serena, I just killed a dude.
But Serena's not home, so she has to go back.
Yeah.
And then her kid brother is doing some weird fucking shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's making like a giant pizza. And I don't even know what all is on it.
What's in that giant pot? It looks like cheese doodles in this.
Yeah, I think it is. Like tomato sauce all over the place.
Truly all over the place. I mean, their walls are covered in pizza sauce.
Yeah, it's like, what has this creepy fucker been doing all night?
And he just called his sister a dog.
And then she turned him into a dog.
A literal dog.
Yep.
That sound you heard was probably a few people's Seinfeld gifting, but
probably yeah.
On this movie,
I don't blame them, but I can't help it. I like this movie. He's freaking out,
and he's like still talking to her.
Still talking, yeah.
Do we think other people can hear him? Is he actually speaking words, or is this a telepathic thing?
I think his voice is coming from the dog.
Yeah.
And how was there already a bubble bath just waiting in the tub?
And for that matter, why is this her?
How like, does that
go
fix him?
To? Yeah. What? But it works. He's human again.
I think it's like her magic just like working itself out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
she didn't mean for any of this stuff to happen. She just kept getting into these situations where she doesn't know what to do.
And Serena, now she is back at Serena's and Serena is telling her, you know, your spells are very weak. Water apparently can reverse them. So, okay. This is your in-universe logic. That's cool, but we're just not going to talk about the fact that she blinked a dude out of existence and turned her brother into a dog?
All that matters is that she learns how to get what she wants.
Yeah. I mean, she's acting like it's just another day in the life, so she's coping well.
Maybe he just, like, rematerialized, you know, after a couple of minutes because her magic is weak.
Yeah.
We'll just go with that.
Unless she, like, teleported him to the moon. You know, that's...
That's
quite
true.
Possible.
Could have been.
In which case, he is dead.
And she's a murderer.
But he was an asshole, and, you know, that's more than an asshole, really. I mean, that was getting pretty intense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's telling her that the necklace that the drama teacher gave to her is like a talisman of her power, some bullshit. Mm-hmm.
And that she's like the reincarnation of a former witch that Serena knew in a past life or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we have our mythology established.
And so they're doing a little ritual.
Yeah.
And she gave her a book to study.
Going to transmute this lump of coal into money.
Money.
Take the money. Serena's just eating this up. She's into it.
She spilled water on the money, so then it reverts back, I assume, to coal.
Well, curiously, it seems like it does not. When
does
she
not?
She goes and inspects it, and it, I don't know. Maybe they were trying to get the idea across that it did, but they didn't really show that. So that was another point where I was like, what are we doing?
She automatically offers up, like, revenge as one of the, like, selling points of being a witch.
I know.
They won't have Louise Miller to kick around anymore.
Exactly. She's like, use
them. And honestly, that's really smart of her to play that card.
Mm-hmm. And look, she's realizing... she's realizing how well this will work out for herself.
See,
look, the money is still money.
Yeah, but it was, like, all faded and dripping.
You can dry that off.
So, like, day one that she finds out she's a witch, she's going to start casting spells and shit.
Study this book.
In this abandoned carousel area. It's always looked really creepy to me.
I know, right? This is, like, something out of... I was thinking, like, The Lost Boys.
Or, like, The Craft.
Yeah, that was another thing, and I think that's the natural comparison to make to any movie. The Craft, this is not, but we're doing kind of the same setup, you know?
Yeah, just a very vanilla version.
PG version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I should do The Craft. I don't know. There's not enough blood in that movie. That is a creepy movie, but...
Yeah.
Mostly because teenage girls are fucking scary.
When there's even kind of a, I will make him love me subplot in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which ends very, very badly.
Yes, it does.
Now she's summoning gale force winds. Again, Storm of the X-Men here. And she can summon rain. She also has learned how to reverse some of these spells at the same time. She's picking up a lot already.
Mm-hmm. She's making it rain, literally.
Yep.
And then apparently making the carousel come on?
Yes. And it must run on some form of electricity.
Woo! Had to sneeze. Okay.
She's dancing and skipping in the rain, much like I would be if I discovered these wondrous powers.
If you were a 16-year-old girl, Tim, what would you do if you found out you're a witch?
Well, I feel like we're really sleeping on the fact that you can blink people out of existence.
You're right.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to name names, but there'd be some changes.
Well, she decides she's going to start with old Kiki there, who stole her part in the play.
Mm-hmm. And this is a scene kind of reminiscent of The Craft, where you're sort of targeting the alpha bitch rival girls.
She's making them bicker amongst themselves.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to see anybody's hair fall out, spoiler, but we are going to see them get really petty and probably talk each other into eating disorders.
At the very least.
Yeah. Some very evil things. She landed kind of badly in that pool.
And then the water of the pool broke her spell.
Yes. Immediately. They start apologizing to each other. Now, do you know what happens to a toad when you chant incantations at it?
What happens?
Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Serena's going to show us what happens.
Oh, the closed captioning informs me it's a frog.
Mm-hmm. Not a toad.
Not a toad. And these two are just BFFs now.
Mm-hmm.
And Serena's whole attitude, I love her whole attitude throughout this entire course of events as it unfolds. She's just so, oh, honey, you know, don't worry about it. You're young. You've got powers. You can just make him a sex slave.
Yeah, basically.
Whatever. It's whatever you want.
She is really evil.
Kind of, but
she's like the evil mentor.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess not evil, but like selfish. Or not completely wholesome.
She's
not very with great power comes great responsibility. No.
She's very anti-Uncle Ben.
Yes.
She's opportunistic.
Yeah.
And you also get the sense she doesn't think that, the teen witch Louise, she's never going to do anything that bad. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like she's got these
harmless
powers.
Yeah.
She could be like this real evil doer, but it's going to be pretty innocent.
But Louise, she has used Louise's magic to turn that frog into a prince.
Ah, so that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. And he looks into it.
Yes. Look at the...
And then he says...
It is pretty good physical comedy here.
Just then he says, ribbit.
Ribbit. And she's like, still make it work.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, Brad
just tape his mouth shut. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Brad is coming over because Louise is his tutor now. She made her room all sexy and, did everything that Madame Serena said to do, because her plan is to make him fall in love with her.
Yes, she had to sprinkle some herbs on her bed, and he will sit in said herbs, and she will say some Latin, And that's it, right?
Then he will be her sex slave.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't exactly say that's what she wanted, but...
You know she's thirsty.
Yeah.
I mean, she had that elaborate dream, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we're doing this kind of strange gag where there's nowhere to sit in her room, mm-hmm. so they have to sit on the bed. Of course, she needs the spell to work. And everybody keeps coming in here, hey, where are the chairs? Where are all the chairs? Like, bitch, how many chairs does the average person have just...
in their bedroom.
And first of all, how big is her bedroom? Like, it looks...
She has a gigantic bedroom.
This is like an entire wing of their house.
And enormous. There is a chair right there. It just has clothes on it.
Yeah.
Dad's going to leave a snack and mm-hmm. leaves the door open, which is cute.
Yeah. Very dad.
And why would you not hide all of your stuffed animals and shit?
I mean, yeah.
If you're trying to seduce somebody.
Her dress has changed somewhat.
Yeah, yeah. She looks a little less cheeky already. Still not peak Louise.
No.
Oh, yet. God. And then she feels real dumb because she tries to do the incantation. She's like,
she kind of chickens out.
And then she opens the door and all of her chairs are in the closet.
Yeah, apparently she does have a shitload of chairs.
I don't know why I always thought that was funny. Because she's so embarrassed about it.
Ooh, this is...
Oh, yeah.
This is an infuriating scene. We're back in school now in the English class with the fascist Mr. Weaver.
And he's going to be awful.
Oh, God. And we see they are getting quite cozy. And, you know, mm-hmm. they're studying together. They're chit-chatting. So, spell or no spell, he is chatting her up.
Mm-hmm. He apologized for letting her go on that date with that creep guy.
Yes.
But then Louis starts talking shit about his girlfriend.
Not a good move.
And then this is where she gets her idea, because he says every guy wants to be with the most popular girl, obviously.
Right. And now... A teacher starts rifling through her purse.
Yeah, this is real uncomfortable.
I was going to say, that's extremely invasive.
And then he opens her birth control pills.
Yes, which he is showing to the class. He's...
Yeah, it's rough.
On the one hand, it is somewhat... progressive in a way that mm-hmm. they even acknowledge, hey, she's on birth control pills, and do it so like it wasn't a whole big mm-hmm. subplot of the movie mm-hmm. or anything. It's just that's a fact of who she is. But yeah, the way that that revelation is made is pretty uncomfortable, and it's supposed to be. I mean, mm-hmm.
you're supposed to hate him,
right?
So she decides she's going to teach him a lesson, and she makes a voodoo doll of him.
Yes, she's making a voodoo doll now.
Which I feel is kind of like mixing your magics up, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I feel like voodoo is like a particular form of magic.
I don't really think, like... Well, let's face it, it's not like traditional white people witchcraft kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right. So she's going to make sure she embarrasses the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts undressing the little voodoo doll that she made by hand, apparently.
Very quickly, yes.
Mm-hmm. Starts undressing it, so then he starts doing everything that she's doing, basically stripping in front of his class.
Yeah. This voodoo doll has... very unsettling hair plugs, apparently.
Much like Mr. Weaver. It's like, where does she get those tiny shoes at?
I know. Very elaborate. But it was important that she put this amount of detail into it, because he is disrobing in front of the entire class. Oh, God.
Yeah, they're losing it.
And we're not done yet. Nope.
Busted.
So he's going to be escorted out of school.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. And then it's like, hey, I'll just leave this doll here randomly so it ever could happen to it. So they just think he's crazy. And then they do this whole little bit where everything that happens to the doll happens to him. Going down the stairs.
And the mom picks it up. And very disheveled.
Yes. How could this mom not know that her son is a fucking troll? Like, how did she even... Ugh. I don't know.
She also thinks it's a lovely doll. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen. Mm-hmm.
Like, super weird.
He would ask some questions if you found your daughter with this thing.
Yes. So she puts him in the washing machine, and so the real guy goes through a car wash.
Yes. Walks through a car wash.
I mean, like... This is odd because, yeah, he deserves it, but she doesn't see any of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's pretty pointless. I guess maybe does it solidify that her magic is stronger because the water doesn't wash the spell away?
You know, I did kind of think of that, and it is maybe a way that they could emphasize that point.
All the times I've watched this movie, and I never thought of that.
See? All these little things, they start to come together.
It's amazing. Oh, and this is cute, too. Her drama teacher, all of a sudden, met a handsome prince or some shit.
A count.
And just falls in love with him, and he just whisks her away.
Mm-hmm. Apparently she won the lottery also.
Mm-hmm. All this great stuff starts happening to Louise's favorite teacher.
Hey, it pays to know Louise and mm-hmm. to not treat Louise like shit.
Yep. He's an Argentine count.
Right. And we're going to send Edna Krabappel on her way.
Edna ain't ever been this happy.
No, God. And we're going to meet this Argentine count here in a second.
He's super hot, right?
Well, I'll just say he looks a bit like Alberto Del Rio crossed with Robert Goulet.
All right. That's fair.
I know that's a weirdly specific reference, but just work with me.
Okay. Here's the greatest scene. The movie. Well, ooh, I don't know. There's several that I really like, but this is up there. We'll see at the end what you think's best, but I fucking love this part. Because, so, Louise and Polly are riding on their bikes, and, of course, this is her best friend, and she... You know, Polly's a nerd like her, probably a little bit worse, honestly. Yeah. And so she sort of has a crush on the rapper guy from earlier, right?
I'm sorry, yes.
So then they come upon him and his buddies just randomly rapping.
The greasers who rap, yes.
And so he's rapping the song.
And his name is Rhett.
Yes. And
And they're washing a car.
The song is called Top That, and you just need to like Google it and like listen to the song, because like I want to sing it but I can't, but like it's great. Like you need to hear this song.
If you've seen any scene from this movie, it's probably this.
Probably, yeah.
Because it has kind of made the rounds as a meme. It helps a little bit to have some context, but at no point in the movie does it make sense why these dudes
are like
have a rap gimmick.
Mm-hmm. So then Polly, well, Louise has worked her magic. Polly gets incredible confidence and walks up and raps to his face. Sassy as all fuck.
Yeah. She reads him in lyrical form.
Yes.
Big time. I guess that's the weight of his heart, too.
They do this little dance-off thing.
That's right.
It's super sexy, right?
Sexy, I don't know, is exactly
there's tons of heat right here. What are you talking about?
This battle rap.
It's a hot battle rap. It's till the end where she fucks it up. Where she goes, top that. And I'm like, oh, bitch. You just look so cool and you just fucked it all up. I love that scene.
It's iconic, I have to say.
So Louise is doing all these nice things for her friends and getting back at her enemies. So, like, she doesn't want to put a spell on Brad because she wants him to like her for her. But
there are some consent issues, too, that at least she seems to have some kind of grasp of.
But there are some things that she could do for herself to increase her popularity and therefore catch Brad's eye without manipulating him in a direct way. I mean, it's a subtle manipulation.
That's right. Yeah. It's kind of a loophole, but
a little bit.
You know, that's kind of what makes the world work, so.
She wants to be the most popular girl.
Uh-huh.
Like I said before, that's relatable.
Yeah. And to do this, she's gonna, first of all, give herself a makeover. And
she needs one.
Well, that is true. And we're gonna use, like, we're getting out the big book of spells for this.
Mm-hmm. This is advanced magic.
Uh-huh. We're running through all the most popular women of their eras, I guess, and sort of implying that maybe they had a little help.
Surely not.
Yeah.
And then she pulls out some blue milk from Star Wars.
Right.
It was a very important part of the potion.
And Serena says that this is the last of her powers she's going to use to do this.
She was saving it for a mink coat to wear in the Ice Age. But instead, she's going to let this girl use it to gain popularity in her high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she can have sex with a hot guy.
Well, you know, you gotta live vicariously through people.
I suppose so. Serena, bit of a freak.
Yeah.
So she poured her powers into the blue milk, and so that made a magic elixir.
She's giving very specific instructions here. I thought this was setting us up for... she was going to do it wrong
and
have the spell, like, turn around on her.
And so,
but spoiler, that's not what happened.
No. Now, see, I like this part, too. So they've gone to a concert for this pop star named Shayna. Uh-huh. Shauna.
We got some saxophones.
Yes.
Here
sweet
we go.
Mullet saxophone players. And so she's singing. I like this song. It's real, just 80s pop you know, the very, who does this remind me of? Like,
that's something I was going to ask you.
Tiffany.
Oh, wow.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was going to ask if you thought this would, I don't know, be better or more memorable if it had music that anybody had really heard of before. You know what I mean? Like,
more. No, I kind of like this. I kind of like it like this. Just yeah. It's kind of like, Powerline from the Goofy movie. You know?
Oh, shit.
Man. I mean, not as popular as that, but like the fictional pop star in that story. I don't know. It's kind of like that, but.
Just kind of gives it its own flavor.
Yeah, yeah, its own little thing. Who is she reminding me of right now? It's Gloria Estefan a little bit, or Paula Abdul.
I could definitely see Paula Abdul.
Yeah. So they got backstage to her concert while the concert is going on.
Hey, yeah. Using mystical powers, mm-hmm. as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's this made-up pop star's name? I think you said it. Shauna,
yeah.
Shauna.
Which is a great pop star name.
It's a good, you know. Mm-hmm.
So Shauna, in the middle of the concert, runs over to Louise and then hands her her denim bedazzled jacket, yeah. Her lucky jacket, and gives it to Louise.
And this is like a charm that she needs in order for the spell
mm-hmm.
to work.
Mm-hmm.
Can't just be any old raggedy-ass denim
right,
jacket.
Right. So back in her room, she puts on the jacket, sprinkles the elixir on her, and spins around while she says the incantation.
Yes. It was very important that she spun, counterclockwise, I believe?
Yes, at 45 RPM.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what I thought she was going to fuck up.
I mean, like, because who knows what your RPM is, really. I guess if you're a witch, you might know that.
Yeah, I thought she was going to spin clockwise. Where my head went with all this.
So the next morning, she is hot with her socks and her high heels and her makeup and her poofy hair. She looks good, right?
Popular she looks good.
Louise.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's the big test.
See if it worked.
And then the most popular girl song starts playing, which is another song that I like in this movie. Oh, what do you know? Brad and the girlfriend want her to ride to school with them in the convertible.
Yes, very Todd Weber-esque, this convertible, I felt like. It's 1989.
Yeah. So, all of a sudden, the whole school is all about Louise. There's a montage. God, I love a montage.
Gotta have that in here.
I love it. It's just Louise being cute. Hanging out, being popular, everybody fawning all over her, singing to her. I mean, it's amazing.
The rap in this, you know, it's not exactly a hip-hop cover of Sugar Sugar. But it's its own special kind of cheese.
It is. It really is. It's charming, but poor Polly, she's getting left behind.
Yeah, and this was kind of as close as I thought this movie got to having, like, the conflict, where, you know, there's consequences to what we see happening and stakes, such as they are. So, and we're good. I mean, we're over an hour into it, so.
She she's not deliberately mean to Polly. She's just sort of moved on from her at this point. She's just sort of obsessed with getting Brad. And then this will lead to one of my other favorite scenes of the movie. So her and Brad are taking a ride in his car.
Oh, yeah.
All platonic-like.
Mm-hmm. Randa, nowhere in sight.
Mm-mm.
He ain't got time for her these days.
And Brad looking real good, too. So they end
once again, Tom Cruise, you know, this is...
Yes!
Like Rain Man era Tom Cruise.
A little
Cruise,
bit, which, yeah.
Was that the same? No, I think that was 88, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, yeah. Oh, so they end up at this, like, kind of creepy abandoned house. It looks like a place that I would go, like, spooking. And I've right. never really figured out, like, why he took her there. Well, I guess I did figure that out, but...
You had to rethink that one.
Yeah. So then, it's this real weird, oddly, like, sophisticated sequence here in the middle of this teen movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I know exactly what you mean. It's moved from, like... teen comedy camp to like teen melodrama,
right? To or like borderline porn. Well, you know,
yeah. The way it's shot is somewhat porn like.
So she just automatically starts taking her clothes off. He disappears in the house, and she's looking for him, and then he's like teasing her, like. Looking at her and then running away and leaving an article of his clothing for her to find. So it's like hide and go strip or some shit.
Yeah, they're doing this little cat and mouse game.
Yeah. So she'll leave an article of her clothing until she sees him again. And then that scene right there where she walks into the room and he just looks up. He looks hot as fuck right there.
That's a poster right there.
That is a poster. And this is just so oddly hot all of a sudden. Even though, like, nothing really happens.
Mm-hmm. Once again, just goes to the difference in the audience that something like this is aimed for, where it's not so much about that physical, oh, we're gonna fuck, which, I mean, we're sort of getting there, but the way it's played is much more it's more of the build up than the act itself.
Well, they make out and then they lay down and make out, and you see tongue in mouth
big time. Yeah, I was kind
of hot,
knocked on my ass.
So, and they do, you know, they get a little steamy here.
And it's nothing that, I mean, is too explicit, I guess, for this, the rating of what, this is like a PG movie, right?
Right, I mean, right. But it just has this, like, real intimate, like, feeling to it, you know what I mean? Like, just very oddly placed in the middle of this movie. And then it just goes away, like, I always understood that they fucked, right, right, like...
That was my sense, yes.
But then,
but I don't know.
Later on, she says, kiss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe it was just coded, like they couldn't really come out and say, hey, we smashed, but...
Or maybe we're just, like, super filthy and that was, like, innocent.
It looked very innocent to me.
I know, right?
Or to you, so...
It's like you can make out.
You're making out like that.
I'm just saying, like you can make out without having sex, but like, why?
It just seemed they were very much into it, and that I feel like that kind of scene just doesn't really get filmed today.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But now she feels bad. You know, she's worried that he only kissed her because of the spell and not because of her.
Kissed.
Mm-hmm. Kissed.
Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, she did not directly cast a spell on him.
Right.
So, and Serena's telling her, like, well, what do you want? Shit, I mean,
right.
You did this whole popularity deal and you're still not happy. Sort of giving her a hard time about it.
And then all the girls in school start copying her hairstyle. So, The Louise worship is getting overwhelming at this point.
In the falling out, the friendship with Polly that's kind of fallen by the wayside, I think that's a pretty relatable concept, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's more... I don't even know that's necessarily a gendered type of thing versus just something a lot of kids go through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You could be on both sides of that equation.
Right, exactly. Potentially. All right, so even though they've not shown anything to do with this play, all of a sudden it's play night.
Yes, all of a sudden the play is important again.
Mm-hmm. So the popular girl Kiki is the lead, and Louise says, good luck, and then the guy said, you can't say good luck in showbiz, you have to say break a leg.
Right.
So Louise says break a leg, and then Kiki breaks her fucking leg.
In somewhat unconvincing fashion.
Yes, it's terrible.
So she says the line, break a leg.
She trips over a ladder.
Turns around.
How do you break your leg doing that?
I mean, how delicate is this person?
She has bird bones.
She has osteogenesis imperfecta.
And then she automatically says, it's broken. Like, bitch, you don't know?
Mm-mm. It's the spell.
But Louise is the understudy. So, looks like she's just looked up onto a lead role.
Just like that. Well, I hope
but they don't show the play.
They don't show the play, exactly. That got cut for time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Need to find out if there's any deleted scenes for this bitch.
I just thought that. I was like, I did buy this on digital. I wonder if there's any extra features.
Mm. See, now you're going to have to buy the DVD.
Yeah, you're right. Shit. How I don't already own this, I don't know.
Well, that is true.
So then you get a father-daughter moment here where he is trying to convince her that it doesn't matter if you're popular, it just matters how you see yourself.
Which
bunch
is bullshit.
Of bullshit.
Let's face it.
Nobody believes that.
No.
But, you know, you gotta say that as a dad.
I was about to say. They did that scene because they knew they had to. And they get it over with as quickly as possible.
And she just can't... She just can't understand why Polly's upset with her.
Mm-hmm. And she's a cheerleader now, too.
Yeah, that was random, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that's relatable. Like you were saying, I've been on both sides of that, I think. Feeling left behind and also leaving people behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough. It sucks. It hurts.
Especially when you're not conscious of it. You don't know that's even a thing just because you're young and inexperienced.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit different when, you know, you move on in life and you're like, oh, yeah, I think my social circle maybe. Why can't I talk all of a sudden? I must have a spell.
Yes. I've,
you know, your social circle goes through changes. And, I mean, that's just a natural part of life. But everything just sucks so much more when you're 15.
That is true.
Oh, 16.
So Richie, her annoying ass little brother, is fully on the Louise train as well because he has brought her breakfast in bed and ironed her homework. Because that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still really fucking creepy and weird.
He straightened the refrigerator shelves.
Mm.
And the parents think he's on drugs.
Ugh. God, so creepy.
The shrine, too.
Yes.
I don't know. Looks like she got what she wanted to me.
Mm-hmm. And she's just casually sitting there in full hair and makeup reading a book.
You're saying you wouldn't do that?
I do that every day, but, like, you know, most people don't. And so there's a gaggle of people on her lawn with signs that say Louise on them.
Her fan club outside. Yes.
So, like, things are just, it's beginning to be too much. So she's going to take a stroll in the back alley behind her house.
Again, looking like the beginning of a music mm-hmm. video.
And then Brad pulls up.
That last little bit of Serena's power just really served her well.
Yeah. She's fucking magical as fuck, man.
That really is the takeaway from this whole movie. Magical as fuck.
So they're going to take another secluded ride to another secluded area so they could not fuck. Come on.
Right, so now, it feels like this scene, like, almost should have come before the erotic,
yes. Yes.
Chalet, whatever they were doing.
Yes.
Just because it's sort of more set up, but to what?
Mm-hmm. Because he's expressing to her that, you know, once I leave, none of this will matter or whatever. He's just, you know, kind of being real self-absorbed.
Talking about the harsh realities of being popular.
Popular, yeah. Apparently. It's real hard.
Yeah. You get so popular and then you move away and have to start over and get super popular again with a totally different group of people. And then that ends and you have to do it all over again. What a nightmare.
And I mean, like, looking like that, how could he possibly become popular again somewhere else?
I know. It's unthinkable.
And then he tells Louise how amazing she is.
Somehow he'll have to overcome his charm and good looks. Pull this off.
Oh, and then he gives her the, you're the best, you're honest and sincere, and unintentional guilt trip.
Mm-hmm.
She can't go to the dance with him.
She turned him down. This was like the Tom Cruise moment for me, where he gets kind of indignant, but doesn't really say anything. Mm-hmm. Telling him that there's just things he doesn't understand about her life and about all of this. She will not elaborate.
Yep.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. he looks a lot like Tom Cruise. All right, so she has to do some soul searching now. At the carousel, of course.
Her favorite place, this carousel. This carousel needed a backstory.
You're right.
I need a prequel to Teen Witch.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
Need to learn about all of this mythology, all of the connections to these characters and what they're going to become.
That young Serena?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely young Serena. Been a minute since we checked in on Serena, but she's been using her time well, as we're about to see.
Yeah, her place looks nice, right?
Look at this decor.
It was an old creepy place. Now it's all contemporary.
Mm-hmm. And somehow she's kind of suggesting that Louise is responsible for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we see that this person is collateral beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know quite how, but
I mean, her place does look dope.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Picky, picky.
Uh-huh. Telling Louise to sell her ass down. Uh-huh.
Who is happy? You'll get used to it.
I love that
fucking
line.
Fucking truth, man.
You'll get used to it. Just give it a few years.
Who the fuck is happy? Nobody.
And Louise is doing this whole, I just want to be myself. Mm-hmm. And Serena's like,
bitch, please.
You know, that's just, everybody says mm-hmm. that, but
mm-hmm.
you'll see. She said.
I love this part where Louise sits in her lap.
Mm-hmm.
And then they laugh and switch. Cause
I almost wondered if this was like an outtake or something that they.
It's cute, right?
Mm-hmm. They switch.
They do look adorable like that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this is, again, one of those messages that a movie like this has to impart.
Mm-hmm.
The whole be yourself, be mm-hmm. confident. You'll get what you want that way. You shouldn't fake your way through life, da da da.
The real magic is believing in yourself.
There you go.
If you can do that, you can make anything happen.
You know, I think the...
Amazing.
The jury's back on that, and we realized it was a bunch of bullshit.
Yes, you're right.
But in 1989, you had to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, now it's the dance. All right.
More white people dance.
Yes, love it. So Brad is there with Randa, even though he doesn't want to be.
Yep.
You got a live band, which you always need.
Yes, the Archies, they are not.
And all of a sudden, Kiki's leg is not broken. She's totally fine.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So they're all talking about their rich daddies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of busted on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Mr. Weaver's back, unfortunately. Somehow he did not lose his job.
It's because he was... Yeah, that's true. They didn't really explain that, did they?
Not really.
Polly's there with a... table full of nerds, of course.
Of course. And here's the Greek chorus once mm-hmm. again, and the rapping greasers.
Trolling for chicks in that super smooth way.
I thought the one guy was Crispin Glover for a second. not the main one. Mm-hmm. What did we say? Rhett?
Yeah.
But one of the other.
One of the other ones, yeah.
White dudes, yeah.
So Louise just showed up looking fine as fuck.
Mm. Clear path for her.
Mm-hmm. Everybody starts dancing around her. They just go into choreographed dance scene here.
Yes, they do.
While staring at her lustfully. I like this song here, too.
Oh, got Serena at the dance. How about that?
That's her date.
Yeah. Look at these moves. See, this is why the movie has to be seen. You can't hear the dance moves, unfortunately. My God.
I lusted after that little blue dress that she wears.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was like, I want that dress.
Did you ever find anything equivalent to that?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
like it. Oh gosh, Finest Hour. I love this song.
Could be a redneck karaoke costume.
Maybe.
That no one would get.
Yeah, nobody would understand.
But at the same time, it's kind of like you're clearly something, even if I don't know what the reference is. And it's not an impractical, I mean, I guess it is to a certain point, but it's not like you're totally immobile wearing something like that.
I mean, I would cosplay that if anybody knew who the fuck I would be, but
great.
Very few people would know.
Oh, she discarded her amulet.
Yeah, she decided to give up the magic. And now all of a sudden, Brad's just like, I have to go dance with her right now.
And Serena reclaimed the amulet. Does that mean Serena gets the power? Or is it just a...
Yeah, I mean, I would assume now. So.
Okay.
So they, like... I fuck each other from across the room and then
join hands.
Yep. Fall into this weirdly choreographed dance again.
Once again. Yep. And she did it without her powers.
Mm-hmm.
Except she only gave them up literally 15 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. So,
and nobody like pissed on him or anything to like break the spell. So like, how does she know still?
Yeah.
But they're all dancing in unison now. So that's all that matters.
So it's like, she's already reaped the benefits of everything. So does it really matter that she's not still putting it out there? Right. I don't know how that works.
Right.
Kind of undermines that whole yourself thing.
Mm-hmm. But they're super hot making out on the dance floor, so.
Oh, yeah. Still in a barn by the looks of it.
Yeah, that might be the same exact place from earlier.
I don't see any bales of actual hay, but, you know. And that's our movie. Watch the whole thing.
We sure did. Now, let's have your thoughts. Just, you know, overall, what do you think? Am I crazy for, like, having a soft spot for this movie?
No. I can definitely see how it's one of those movies that would appeal to you. As a kid, you'd watch it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You'd watch it a lot and have that nostalgia for it, even though once you're an adult looking back, you're going, oh, this is so cheesy, this is campy. But, I mean, it's not like there's anything actively offensive about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really kicking your inner child or anything for liking this in the first place, which you do with a lot of stuff, let's face it. I don't think this falls into that category at all. I get why you would have some affection for this movie, you know.
Yeah.
You never know the things that you're going to, I don't know, that are just going to stay with you. So I get it, I think.
Now, do you have any further interest in witchcraft after seeing this movie?
I mean, no more than I guess I did in the first place. Just...
So you don't want to be the most popular boy at your work or anything now?
No, that seems like a lot of work. Sounds like a lot of social interaction. Sounds like a lot of things that...
But, I mean, it might cut down on your frustrations at work, though, as far as, like, people will do what you want them to do and, like...
Yeah. I mean, if I could work it from that angle, mm-hmm. just to get people to do what I want, which largely is, you know, they greet me very enthusiastically, fine, but then they leave me alone and do all my work.
Right.
I'm good with that.
Right.
But I don't know. It sounds like a lot of, social interaction that I don't necessarily want to deal with, even if it's just putting things in motion so that I don't have to actually have any responsibility.
So you're saying that you don't want them to adore you or to, like, copy your fashion or to, like, stand in your yard with signs that say Tim on them.
I don't really have a fashion as such, mm-hmm. so not too clear on what they would be copying. But, you know, who knows? Maybe once I become the most popular person in my world.
Well, you would have a makeover, so you would have.
I'll have to have a makeover for starters. So that would be somewhat unique. But I'm glad we did this. I don't regret it.
Well, I guess that's it then. Kind of a short episode of Talking Pop this time.
It is that. Kind of an experimental,
mm-hmm.
high concept episode of Talking Pop. Perhaps we'll do more of these.
Well,
live watches.
Yeah, I mean, something like Pro Ball Cheerleaders or something like that.
Take it in a different direction.
Yeah, yeah. If this, you know, is not very interesting, then perhaps our thoughts on pornography would be.
Yeah, we could read some, we could do some reviews of our own, or just read some reviews.
Ah, yes. There are some websites out there that have some interesting content that I might like for you to read on air.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, let me know. It'll be decidedly NSFW.
Yes.
I think we'll have to throw up a lot of disclaimers, yeah. But... Could give it a shot.
Well, definitely. You know, I hear that sex sells, so, I mean...
That's what they say.
You know, I could see it.
Not that I would know.
No.
I mean...
Absolutely.
Wouldn't know anything about that.
So,
Teen Witch. Look for this on 13 Nights of Halloween. I guess coming to a Freeform near you, maybe.
Or buy it for $15 on Amazon.
Or do that, yeah.
It's amazing that
there's no sequels to this. I mean, no.
Yeah, that's so weird, because I think that originally they had meant this as like a female version to Teen Wolf.
Right.
Which it kind of pretty much is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I love that movie too, but.
It's shocking to me that it didn't get a sequel, considering its box office take of 27,843 dollars.
Oh my god, that's awful. So my $15 is like a real fucking investment. I was like,
on a budget of $2.5 million. Modest budget, but real modest box office. Look, 1989 was a stacked year in film. You had Ghostbusters 2 this year.
Mm-hmm.
You had Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Woof.
Woof. Is that a good woof?
That's like stiff competition, so like, yeah. You know.
You had Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, man. Can't beat that crap.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Damn.
I know. Big year in film. And you had Teen Witch. So, I don't know, man. Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner. Classic. That was the direct competition it was up against. Oh, and another kind of more seasonally appropriate, Pet Sematary.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go supernatural, then you're probably going to go that way.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's Teen Witch.
Well, I hope that somebody that's never seen this before watches it because of us. That would make me happy and maybe enjoy it. I don't know.
Yeah, do some gimmicks while you're watching it.
Oh, yeah, gimmicks are great.
Get in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Do a little witchcraft of your own.
Yeah, break out your Ouija board and worship Satan. No, don't really do that, please. All right. Do you want to do some plugs?
I guess we ought to before we get out of here.
Between the two of us, that's like 85 podcasts. So
yeah, should we take a break?
Do our plugs here and then for a while.
So I guess I'll go first on social Twitter. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-6-8 on Twitter. Instagram doesn't matter. Facebook, Place to Be Nation Comics. I'm not terribly active on Facebook at all, but we do have a Place to Be Nation Comics group, which you should check out because I am one quarter of the Marvel Age podcast. Myself, Nick Duke, manager Todd Weber, and Russell Sellers, chronologically going through the biggest, most important, best stories in Marvel Comics, and the companion show to that, Marvel Age Masterclass, hosted by Ben Morris, sitting down with one member of the panel for each installment. I was in the hot seat this time, so talked the year 1967 with Professor Morse. Look for that, both episodes of Marvel Age Masterclass on Place to Be Nation. Also, Place to Be Nation Wrestling. So our sister feed, the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, I co-host the WCW Survey Says podcast, which is a retrospective that I do with Andy Helene. Our most recent episode that you can find as of this recording is going to be a look back on the career of Diamond Dallas Page. That's quite the long episode, coming in little under 3 hours, but I felt like it was a subject that was deserving of that time. Really proud of that one. And we were joined by our good, close, mutual friend, Andrew Reich. Check that out on Place to Be Nation Wrestling. We will have a Halloween-themed edition of Survey Says coming up later this month, which, Jenny, I know you'll be looking forward to.
Yes, I will. And I really did like that Diamond Dallas Page episode. That was really good.
Thank you.
I liked it a lot. So mine, I am at Jenny Cruz 2814 on Twitter. My very first love podcast-wise, I guess, is Geek and Sassy. So Miranda and I just did another episode where we did a preview of the fall shows on the on the CW.
So you almost said the WB.
Almost said WB. So we did that with Russell Sellers. That's episode 28. And then I did an episode of Freak Out Drive-In with my friend Jason Sherman. And we watched Friday the 13th, the final chapter. And then I was on the episode of The Hard Traveling Fanboys. And we kicked off Walking Dead month with a countdown. So I was a guest on that show. I think that's it. So
I've still got to listen to Freak Out Drive-In with Jason.
It's
about
good.
Jason.
Yes.
And so you did the final chapter. That was the fourth overall?
It was the fourth one. So you don't have to, you don't have to worry your pretty little head about what happened in the first three movies.
Well, and spoiler alert, it is not the final chapter, it turns out.
Yes, correct.
In that
definitely
very long film series. Yeah.
But yeah.
Looking forward to that. I got to get caught up.
It was fun. All right. I think that about wraps us up. So y'all go watch Teen Witch, or if you already know Teen Witch and love it like me, tweet us or, come on the Facebook page or something and talk to us about Teen Witch. Because this movie's awesome. All right, so that's it, and we will see you next time.
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTBN Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post-Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.